path that is straight and narrow, leading us forward each day. Though we have problems, Jesus is faithful. All our needs are supplied. The time is now nearing for His appearing for our heavenly flight. Someday we shall see Jesus. Someday by and by.
Someday
I shall be home in that city or I. We must not linger.
Remember the old Happy Goodman family, Billy? I believe he's coming back, like you said.
High upon the mountain, from where He ascended, an angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, "Don't stand here. For the one that you see living in like man is coming back for you and me. I believe He's coming back like He said. I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound so loud one day He'll wake the dead.
Coming back like He said.
it. I don't know who's going to pay for it. A bus.
Yeah. Tommy said the Lord will make a way. Something? Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. In Romans chapter number 12, you'll find where we're going today. And I can already tell. Now, some of you livened up there. a little bit. And some of you hadn't livened up yet. But it'll be okay. Somebody asked me one time, said, that verse over in the Bible, it talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first. They said, Brother Jeremy, who do you think that is? I said, that's the Baptist. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Anyway. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Are you there? Say amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Notice he's talking to saved people. He calls them brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the service we've already had. I thank you for good singers that we have in this church. Lord, the musicians and what all Sammy contributes to this service. And every Sunday we could put a different group up here just out of this church. What a blessing. Thank you for it. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now the next few minutes get something from your word. The singing, I love it, but it only prepares our hearts for the preaching of the word. So, Lord, I ask you to go before us and prepare hearts, make our hearts fertile ground to receive the word, that seed will go in, take root, and water it, and it'll spring forth into life everlasting. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said amen. Here in Romans chapter number 12, you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard sermons about Romans chapter number 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But do you notice that we're in Romans chapter number 12? And in Romans chapter number 12, there's 11 chapters before you get to presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Before you can present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, there's 11 more chapters we got to get to. Don't y'all know this is going to be a long sermon? Because when you look in Romans chapter 1, if you were to look in Romans chapter 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Now, when I'm reading this, just think about watching the news, okay? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that when they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what that means? That means when you go outside, you look up, you see the heavens and the stars and the sun. The heavens declare the glory of God. If you don't believe there's a God, when you walk out of this building, there's something wrong with you. The heavens, if you didn't have a Bible, the heavens would declare that for you. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Are we there? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves. Now think about Congress right here. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Is that helping anybody? And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. That means this world, they're trying to get God to where they can make him into an image that you can bow down to, an image that you could stick in your pocket, an image that you can hang around your neck. But God's way bigger than that. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's chapter 1. God, when he starts, before you get to Romans chapter number 12, you've got 11 more chapters, and the first one is the fall of the Roman Empire. And America, listen to me real good, we're following in the same path. They knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, they came vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's America, ladies and gentlemen. And then if you were to outline the book of Romans, Romans 1, 2, and 3 deal with sin. I'm talking about if you started out in the book of Romans, which I suggest you do. If you've been saved, just now got saved, people say, what book you want to start in? Revelation? I said, no, don't start in Revelation. Start in Romans. Romans 1, 2, and 3 deal with sin. And you cannot be saved until you deal with sin. You can't be saved. You can't be found until you realize you're lost. You're out in the middle of the woods. You can't be found until you realize and say, oh my goodness, I am lost and I don't know where I am. And then in 4 and 5, God deals with salvation. 1, 2, and 3 is sin. 4 and 5 is salvation. And that, my friend, listen, in chapter number 2, it's the same way. He deals with sin. And sin this and this. Matter of fact, let me show you a verse. Romans 3:10. Y'all ready for this one? And as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not. Now listen, I'm going to preach to you today. That includes grandma, that includes Mother Teresa, that includes the Pope, that includes everybody you know. There is none good, no, not the first one. Nobody's good. You say, well, Brother Jeremy, I'm better than so-and-so. You may be. And the problem is we compare ourselves to one another. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. Well, they're better than me. And I got to, you know, and we're comparing one another to each other. But when you compare yourself to God, there is none righteous. No, not one. Now, I know sometimes at funerals or whenever we say, now, that was a good man. That was a good woman. And again, we're comparing to one another. But when you compare to God, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know what that means? That means nobody in this room, nobody in America, nobody in the whole world's ever been born, walked in shoe leather, will ever be able to be righteous enough to go to heaven on their own. There's none righteous, no, not one. See, if this, we're still in 3 now, there is no. Me and Charlie were talking about this today. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Are we not living in that day? There was a day when you could unlock the church and leave it unlocked and all the stuff and the equipment and the microphones and all of that. The lost world, I'm talking about the lost world, wouldn't dare rob a church. They had more sense than that. But we're living in the day today. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So now they don't care. Now, watch this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, the Ten Commandments, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. For by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You say, preacher, my goodness, you're over my head today. Well, you should have went to bed a little early last night. You say, why we got the Ten Commandments? Why in the world we got the Ten Commandments? Well, why you got the stop sign? Why you got speed limit signs? You read the speed limit, it says 65, it means you go 70. Amen. If it says 70, that means you go 75. The law is 70, but grace is 75. Woo, glory. Got pulled over one time. He said, don't you know you were speeding? I said, I was under grace, not under law. While he's getting his book out, writing a ticket. The reason we have the law is to show us the knowledge of sin. The reason the Ten Commandments are there are not so you can say, well, look at me, I kept all the Ten Commandments. Well, the first one I know you hadn't. Ain't nobody in the whole world ever kept the Ten Commandments but one, and that's Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. I said, well, you just lied. And one of them is thou shalt not lie, bear false witness. You just lied. Amen. Now, after all of that, you have to look at right here. Look at Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Y'all believe that? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means if we had a target up here, a bullseye, and everybody's trying to hit that red dot in the middle and hit bullseye, everybody falls short the glory of God. Nobody has ever been able to hit the bullseye except one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let me explain it to you this way. You've heard it, but there's some visitors in here that hadn't heard it, so y'all laugh and really ooh and ah like it's the first time you ever heard it. Everybody in this room, we got to catch a plane today in Memphis. We're leaving out of here at 2 o'clock. Y'all get there at 2:05. How many northerners over here we got? Anybody north? You guys get there at 2:45. Plane left at 2. Y'all got there at 2:05. Y'all got there. You guys got there at 2:45. Y'all did better than you guys. Y'all can look over there at them and say, we did better than y'all. Y'all can look over there and say, man, they got us. Boy, they beat us. But at the end of the day, everybody in the room missed the plane. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 1, 2, and 3 deal with sin, and you cannot be saved until you realize you are a sinner. You say, preacher, I've never killed nobody. Well, I don't know why we always go to that. I've never killed anybody. I've never done this. That. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if you ever killed anybody or not. If you told a lie, we've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. I can't help it. That's just what the Bible says. Matter of fact, then he goes over there in Romans 5:12 and he tells you how in the world we got this way. Now, I'm going somewhere. Y'all don't know, but I'm going somewhere. I'm preaching the whole Bible in the process, but anyway. Romans 5:12. Wherefore is by one man sin in the world. Y'all know who that was? Papa Adam. Boy, don't y'all know, we get to heaven, Jesus is going to have the longest line waiting to see him. And Adam's going to be second. Boy, people's got to talk to Adam. What in the world were you thinking? You ate us out of house and home. And then he's going to say, it's that woman God gave me. Man. Jeff, don't raise your hand now. Don't get him on camera when he got his hand raised like that. Wherefore is but one man sin in the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all. For all have what? Do you know your baby lies? Oh, not my baby, my baby. Oh, yeah, they do. In the middle of the night, boy, they'll cry 2 o'clock in the morning. They'll start crying and hollering and carrying on. And you nudge your wife like you're supposed to. Like the Bible says. And you'll think, oh, somebody's broke in. I mean, they're, you know, something is sticking them. I mean, somebody done cut their arm off. They're hollering like somebody done cut their toe off. And you go in and you stick your head over into the bed or wherever they're sleeping. And they quit and go, Guess what? They just lied to you. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. But now, are y'all ready for the good? As Paul Harvey would say, page 2, here's the rest of the story. You can't get saved unless you get through Romans 1, 2, and 3. You got to know that you're a sinner. If you think you are just it, you've arrived, and man, you can march into heaven. I think the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could get to heaven on your own, you could walk into heaven and say, boy, look at me. Look what I did. No, friend, when we get to heaven, we're going to have our head down. Oh, look what he did. Has a difference. But watch, y'all ready for the good news? Oh, Romans 5:8, one of my favorites. But I love when God butts in. But God commended. That word commended means demonstrated. God demonstrated, commended his love toward us in that while we were in Romans 1, 2, and 3, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Stay in your seat. Don't try to get excited. But even while we were in Romans 1, 2, and 3 and a sinner, dying and going to hell, Christ said, I will go and demonstrate my love for them that while they are yet sinners, I'll still die for them. Isn't that something? And then you get over that in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages is pay. Wages, every Friday, y'all supposed to get paid. You're paid or whatever you get. For the wages, the payment of sin is what? All right. So payday is death for sin. Do y'all realize, you ever wondered, now, once you get over the hump of 40, and I'm approaching the big 5-0. I know y'all can't tell it. I know you can't tell it. And I still got a few, you know, I ain't there yet. But y'all realize when you get out of bed and it sounds like you done broke open a box of Rice Krispies. It wasn't that way when you were 12. It wasn't that way when you were 15. Man, you started getting on up. Why? Because of sin. You get, and your knees start hurting. Your hips start hurting. Your hair starts falling out. Because of sin. The wages, the payment of sin is death. But aren't you glad? Remember I told you when God butts in? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through who? Through the church? Through the baptistry? Through signing a card? Getting a banana and joining the rest of the bunch? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, here we go. The wages of sin. Somebody's got to die for sin. Somebody's got to die for it, right? Somebody's got to. Somebody's got to. Now, let me show you this. Right here, y'all see this Heavenly Highways? This is not a Heavenly Highways hymn book right now. But this right here contains all my sins. Linda, wouldn't you love to read this? Ooh. I know my daddy would. Lord of mercy. And boy, here's all of my sins listed right here, Sammy. They're all in here. I mean, ever from start to finish. And then all of a sudden, here's Jesus. Here's his record right here. Here's what he said. And everything in here, he's perfect. No sin in this book. So here's what Jesus did. Jesus said, y'all remember that show on television, Let's Make a Deal? I know it's an old show, but hey, now I'm telling my age. Jesus Christ said, now look, I'm going to make you a deal. I'm going to give you my book, and you give me yours, and let's make a trade. Who wouldn't do that? Who in their right mind would say, no, I think I'll take my chances? So when I was a 10-year-old boy, I said, look here, I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to give you mine, and I got his. So what happened is, because he got mine, y'all with me? Because he got mine, the wages of sin is what? So 2,000 years ago, he had to go to the cross, and they had to punish him like he was a sinner. Because to God, he looked like one. Because he had my record. Is everybody with me? The wages of sin is what? He had to go to the cross. But now, you're looking at me going, now how you think you're good enough to go to, I ain't. But when I get to heaven, knock on the door, they say, God says, let me see your record. I say, there it is. There it is right here. God says, let me check this out. There ain't nothing in here. This looks like my son. Y'all asleep over here. Give y'all a chance over here. These northerners over here, let me give y'all a chance. This looks like my son's record. That's why the Bible says in John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So now God says, well, yeah, you can come in because you look just like one of my kids. Amen. wages of sin is death. Well, watch this. Romans 10. Look here. Now, you know we're getting close to the end of the sermon because we're in Romans 10, right? We're trying to get to 12. And everybody's going, Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I think the next verse says, for with the heart man believeth in the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Y'all ready? For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be. Goodness. When I traded books with him, he went to the cross for me. Now look, if you don't want to trade books with him, that's fine. It's free country. If you don't want to trade books, if you want to keep your book, you can. The wage of sin is what? That means when you take your last breath, you're going to pay for it. You know where Jesus Christ dumped all of our sins when he died? He went to hell, dumped all your sins. Guess what? You're going to have to take yours and take your chances. Shh. Now, y'all don't get quiet on me right there. That's the truth. That's Bible right there. That is Bible. Romans 10 says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And that's not talking about this mouth. That's talking about the mouth of the heart. You said, Brother Jeremy, how do you know? The Bible says mouth. Well, it also says heart, too. How many of y'all can pray right now without opening your mouth? How are y'all talking to God? Because you got a mouth in your heart. If thou shalt confess with thy, you say, how do you know? Because if that's this mouth, then a person that can't talk can't get saved. But a person that can't talk can still talk to God. See how the Bible is real simple. Real simple. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart. But then, I got to hurry, no amens, please. But then you got sin, 1, 2, and 3. 4 and 5 talks about salvation, how to get saved. Y'all ready? Give me 5 minutes and watch this one right here. Chapter 7 and 8. Is a doozy. Chapter 7 deals with your flesh. Chapter 8 deals with the Holy Spirit that moved inside. So when you got saved, y'all with me? This is a little different Sunday morning message, but you need it. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God, you became two persons instead of just one. And guess what? They don't like one another. People say, well, I don't have a problem with my flesh. Well, let somebody pull out in front of you. Let's see. You're saved, you've been saved since you whatever, and you go to church every time a door's open, and then you be hammering something and you miss and hit that thumbnail, and let's see what kind of flesh we're dealing with. Now some of you are looking going, oh, I don't do that, I'm too spiritual. Well, pray for the rest of us. You say, how do you know? Because Paul said in Romans 7, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to how to perform that which is good I find not. Now don't get confused. I'm going to explain it to you in just a minute. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul says, I'm saved. I got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. But man, there's two guys on the inside and they're fighting every day. And I'm trying to live the Christian life. When you got saved, you didn't get rid of this old flesh. Boy, he still hangs around. I'm telling you. But then in 8, here's where the Holy Spirit, now there is therefore now no condemnation of them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, I told you had two people living. You got the flesh that I have to deal with. Every time somebody pulls over, I'm telling you, they pull out in front of me. I try to run them off the road. In Jesus' name. Give them a gospel track. When they run off in the ditch, I give them a gospel track. Get saved. Hallelujah. Learn to drive. Come on. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit, the things of the spirit. All right, let me explain it to you right here. Y'all see it? There's two guys. When you get saved, this old guy right here, he's the old guy that wants to fuss every time somebody pulls out in front of him. And this guy is the saved part that the Holy Spirit moves in. And them two are fighting. You know how I know they fight? It's because it's easier to get up at 4:30 Monday through Friday to go to work, and then on Sunday can't get here by 10:30. Brother Jeremy, that's good preaching. I'm telling you, that's good preaching. Why? Because this guy don't want to go to church, but this guy does. This guy wants to read his Bible, and this guy don't. This guy wants to watch something he probably shouldn't be watching on television. And then this guy's going, I don't know if we should be watching that. Am I in the right church? Man, that's the Christian life right there, man. Them two fighting back and forth. You say, you got any Bible? Oh, yeah, I got Bible. Galatians 5, and it says this, for the flesh lust is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other, so you can't not do what they want that you would. Paul said in Romans 7, you remember all that confusion stuff? He said, I want to do good, but every time I try to do good, I wind up doing bad because it's evil at presence in me. Let me explain to you this way. When our saved loved ones die, they pass away, we take their old guy and we put them down at the graveyard. And it's real confusing because the pastor gets up here and he goes, boy, they're in heaven now. And everybody's going, no, they're right there. Flesh, spirit. Then one day when the Lord comes, song we sung a while ago, I believe he's coming back just like he said. He's going to raise that corruptible and make it incorruptible. Give us a new body. We shall be changed in a moment. And boy, we'll be, And then you'll look just like Christ. I'm telling you that right there. Man, them guys, you say, preacher, I'm saved. But boy, I still have trouble with this, this, and this. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know the Lord. I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save me. But I have trouble with this, this, and this. Don't we? Let me take my glasses off. Don't we? Then pray for me. Now watch. Them two guys are always fighting. That F, flesh, S, spirit, flesh and spirit, they're always fighting one another. Now, ready? You say, now, Brother Jeremy, which one of them guys? If they get into a fight, somebody's got to win. Which one's going to win? The one you've been feeding the most. Get over here. The one you've been feeding the most. Now, listen. I know it's Sunday morning, and I just felt like I need to preach on this. But look here, if you feed this guy all that old trash on television, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you stay up late, you watch all that stuff you shouldn't be watching, and all of this, and you're around people at work, and I know you got to work with them. You can't not work with them, but you're around them, and you hear this, and you hear the stories they tell, and all of this, right? Am I right? And then all of that, and you just got all this all over you, and then here you come, and on Sunday morning, and I'm preaching a little Bible here, and this guy, he's been starved to death for 6 days. No wonder you can't live a Christian life. This guy's whooping him. This guy looks like Barney Fife. Most Christians in this world, their inner man looks like Barney Fife. Couldn't whoop. The devil comes at them. He couldn't whoop nobody. You ever heard people say, man, I'm defeated. Oh, Brother Jeremy, pray for me. I'm defeated. I quit asking people, how are you doing? Lord, mercy. I'm going to start doing this. They say, Brother Jeremy, I'm going to say, how's your spirit doing? I don't care about your flesh. How's your spirit doing? Your flesh will get a whole lot better when you get your spirit a little better. Well, I had another point, but I like staying right here a minute because I think we're doing a little good right here. This is where we live right here. Which one of these guys you've been feeding all week? Then, oh, look here, I found this one. Look here, they fighting. Boy, here they go. The flesh and the spirit is fighting over the soul. Boy, they playing tug of war. Is that not, do you not feel that way on Monday morning? Am I the only one? Y'all pray for me. Man, I can have good gospel music going in the car, riding down the road. I spend a lot of time in the car. I get a lot of sermons and just sitting there thinking and writing stuff down when I'm driving, breaking the law. And I got my little notepad. I'm taking notes over here, and it's like this. And, you know, and I know when to look up when you hear them little rudder things, you know, go off. And you got time to pull back over. And so I'm there, and man, I'm telling you, I'm doing good. And the Holy Spirit, boy, he's really talking to me. And the music's going, and boy, I'm like, boy, yeah. And then that blinking sign, it says, merge 1 mile ahead. And I'm standing in the lane I'm supposed to, and then somebody waited too late to decide. And they zoom up about 85, and then they're going to zoom right in front of me at the last. Not while I'm driving, you ain't. Holy Spirit rolls the window down. He leaves out, you know. He's like, well, we'll try this again tomorrow. Am I the only one? Now, let me. Look here. Oh, I found this. I need y'all to see this right here. Two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul. The one is blessed. The one I love. The one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Amen. Now, that was all introduction. My sermon is real short. We get all of those 11 chapters. Paul says you got to realize you're a sinner. God died to save you. And then after you get saved, you have to battle and battle each and every day the flesh and the spirit. And then he says in 12, I beseech you. I'm begging you. Would you present your body a living sacrifice? Now, I'm gonna get this right here, and we're fixing to go eat. Now, we call this our altar. What do you do on an altar? In the Old Testament, you kill something. Old Testament, blood has to be shed on an altar. You talk to God at the altar. We call this our altar. But Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy, you present your bodies. A living, not a dead one, but a living sacrifice. This is why we have altars. I wish we used them a little more than we do. But look, I know you can talk to God back there in your seat. I know, but there's just something about going, God, here I am. I'm still living and breathing. I'm a living, but I want to be a sacrifice. Can I say this and be in hurry? Sacrifices don't have any rights. When you got saved, you gave up your rights. I think the Bible says something like this: we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. I belong to him. So the only right that I have is to serve him. Paul says, after what God has done for you on the cross, I beseech you, present your body. This is what he says. Paul says, after all we've seen in 11 chapters, would you just serve God? In these last days we live, just serve God. I'm going to end right here with this. That was a trick, wasn't it? The song you sang a while ago, alas and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? You ever notice this? Little girls especially. Little girls, they see a worm. Oh! Unless they're a tomboy, you know. I've seen some girls, man, they pick up that worm and whatever, put it on a hook, go fishing. Hallelujah. Most little girls are like, what? You know, afraid of a worm. But some of those worms, caterpillars, whatever they call them, they'll find themselves, they'll look up and them trees look real big. They'll climb up in that little tree and they'll start wrapping themselves and they die. They die to self. And then, what that Bible says, what the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by mercy of God, present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So this worm dies to self and is transformed into a butterfly. And little girls look like a butterfly. It's a, oh, look, I want to be a butterfly one day. Nobody looks at a worm and goes, I want to be a worm one day. They look at a butterfly and say, oh, I want to be a butterfly one day. That worm looks up at the trees. Big. But when it's transformed into a butterfly, he can fly above the trees. For such a worm as I, God, transform me. The renewing of my mind, I want to serve him. You say you got an Old Testament, or you got an example? Yeah, I'll tell you that old Job, Sammy's coming to the piano. When I say that, people are like, oh yeah, we quitting them. When Sammy comes to the piano, it's getting close. Y'all remember old Job? Job in the Old Testament, lost everything he had. Lost everything. That's what Job did. His altar was there. He didn't run out of sacrifices. He didn't sacrifice every animal he had and all the rest of them died. He ain't got nothing to sacrifice. He ain't got nothing to sacrifice. So what Job did, he just sat down in the ash pile. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, I ain't got nothing else. God, I ain't got nothing else. All I got's me. That's why Paul says, I beseech you. We need some people to serve God. Need some people to present them body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Bow your heads all over the building. The altars of invitation are open. Maybe you need to come pray about something. Maybe something has been said or done that has caused you or the Lord to prick your heart and say, I need to go to the altar and pray about something. Maybe you're battling that flesh and the spirit inside and you're struggling all the time and you want to just say, hey, God, I want to feed the spirit more. Help me. I don't have nothing else to sacrifice but myself. Let's all stand out of the building if you need to come. You can come. Just a minute. Maybe you need to come. Whatever reason.